It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Real Estate on this beautiful July 4th holiday weekend. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and along with my fellow brokers, we are ready to help with all of your real estate needs. I have a very special in-studio guest with me today, who I'll be introducing shortly. We also have our regular lineup of useful information segments, and in the second half of the show, I will be doing a call-in interview with a broker colleague of mine who's holding an open house at a terrific property near the Santa Fe Opera. Also, please go to our website if you need some detailed real estate information or you wish to meet with someone to discuss your own real estate situation. Go to www.sfrp.com. That's www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and you'll get all the answers to your questions. So join us right here on All Things Real Estate by dialing Talk 1260 KTRC at 505-473-5722, or you can email me, Ray Post, with your questions and comments at rpost@sfrp.com. Like every Sunday, we start the show with a little segment called The State of the Market, and I have Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate, on the line with me. Good morning, Andrew. What useful information are you going to be bringing today to the listeners?
Well, I thought I'd start off by telling you that the rates came down a little bit this week.
Hooray!
30-year fixed rate, I think, is around 5.25%, which is an improvement from where it was last week. But what I was going to talk about is when a bank is not a bank. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's two types of banks that we see. One's a commercial bank, Wells Fargo, Chase, those type of banks, and the other one's a mortgage bank, which we don't typically see or know the name of because they're sort of behind the scenes. In the mortgage business, there's two different types of transactions. There's origination, which is making the loan, which is what I do. I work with clients to sort of make the loan, and then once the loan is closed, the loan is actually handed off to a servicer. And those servicers typically can be the big companies, the Chase, GMAC, Bank of America. As originators, we have two ways of working. We can work as either a correspondent, which is basically a bank, or as a broker, which we call wholesale. The public sees banks in just one way, that there are, commercial banks. But that happens because I think the commercial banks are also mortgage banks. They do mortgages. But there are also mortgage banks like my own company. Now, what's the difference? A mortgage bank is a company that originates a loan in its own name, underwrites that loan, and funds the loan. At the end of the transaction, when it's recorded, we hand off that funded loan to a servicer, which may be like I said, Bank of America. The similarity is that the commercial banks in town also do the same thing. On the other hand, they may in fact portfolio some of their loans and keep them on their own books and service them. But typically, they will hand them off to another company. But the difference that I bring to the table here is that I personally have access to every major lender in the United States. So when I'm looking at pricing, I price my own bank, but all those other banks. And the other thing I also do is I work as a broker. While I'm on that subject, I will tell you that mortgage brokers may be an endangered species. The Obama administration has made noise about not allowing a mortgage broker to make a fee on the work that they do based upon the volume of the loan or the size of the loan. And on top of that, you may have heard or we may have discussed about the difficulties in appraisals. So I think the mortgage brokers per se may be endangered in the favor of us mortgage bankers.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the bottom line here, whether or not they are going to be extinct down the road, is that consumers, at the end of the day, do have a lot of choices as to what they can do when they are seeking a loan. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And what I think they want to do is go to the person or the organization that can give them the most service, the best service.
Right. And as is always the case, and I know you use this as one of your guiding principles, it's all about relationships, too. We as real estate brokers try to develop a relationship with a consumer, buyer, or seller. That's typically how someone selects a broker. They feel comfortable with them. Same with you. Andrew, listen, as always, powerful information, good for the listeners. Appreciate you chatting with us today, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, today I have, as I said, a very special guest with me. Actually, he's is it reprising? I can't remember. Your role as the first special guest that I had on All Things Real Estate. I have Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title with me in the studio today. Steve is the Santa Fe area manager for Fidelity National Title. And first of all, welcome.
Thank you, Ray. Good afternoon to you.
Well, it's delightful to have you back, and we were regaling each other with our 4th of July celebration events, and Steve was the designated driver last night, so I know there was one thing that was not on your menu.
That's correct, and happy birthday, America. We had a wonderful time celebrating the birthday of America and enjoying the whole three-day weekend.
Well, you know, and that's funny you bring that up, and that we shouldn't forget that we are on this special celebration. I was noticing something in the New Mexican from yesterday on their editorial page. What struck me was their editorial, Steve, talked about the declaration signers, so much to lose. And essentially the one thing that jumped out at me, besides all the sacrifices that these men made, the 56 original signatories to the Declaration of Independence, is that so many of them lost their homes during the American Revolution. They actually were taken over by the British, in some cases burned down. But for what they did for us, we today, as homeowners, can enjoy having our homes and probably not worrying about the same things happening to us in the same fashion.
I mean, and they made a great sacrifice for what we enjoy today. And home ownership is certainly a founding principle of our country. And they had to give it up to give us what we enjoy today. God bless them and thank them.
Yes, indeed. So with that, actually, what we're going to talk about today, twofold. In the first half of the show, Steve's going to reveal some of those. They're not secrets, but there are some of the services that a title company offers to consumers that are not always well known by people that are out there. Typically, you have a title company involved in your transaction. They're, as you pointed out the first time you were on the program, they're at the end of the pipeline, though they're playing a very major role behind the scenes. But there are five or six prominent things that we're going to talk about today that a title company can offer to you, the consumer. In the second half of the show, Steve, we're going to talk about your other passion. Besides being a title company aficionado, Steve is also an associate broker of real estate, and he owns his own education company for those who want to get into the field of real estate. And so we're going to talk in the second half of the show about why in the world would you want to get involved in real estate and make it a career, and there are some very good reasons. So let's go back to the first topic. There are several things that you and I were talking about, Steve, regarding what a title company can offer to consumers, and maybe rather than just reciting all of them, let's talk about some of the instances that you've worked on with clients. For instance, transferring a title into a trust. Talk a little bit about how that works.
Well, thanks, Ray. The important thing to understand is that a title company is a lot more than just your transaction facilitator. Yes, obviously, we work hard to put the pieces together of the transaction. We do the investigation on the various parties and on the properties to make sure that you have a safe and secure transaction. Title companies are the only segment in the real estate industry, by the way, that actually issues a policy of insurance after the transaction is done and says we did our product right. We did our job correctly, and you can rely on that and be safe and secure. So we're proud of the fact that we issue a policy of insurance saying we did it right and your transaction is secure. But there are so many other customer service opportunities that people need to realize that title companies offer, particularly Fidelity, and that we want to kind of be your title company for life, sort of, to the extent that we want to assist you with whatever is going on in your life as it relates to the real property, whether it's deeding into a trust after you've taken your property, as you mentioned. There are a great number of people now for estate planning purposes, etc., will develop trusts to hold their property, and conveying the property into your trust should be a fairly comfortable and easy thing to do. We get a great number of calls from consumers that are looking to convey the property into their trust, want to make sure they do it correctly. For instance, you know, in New Mexico, a trust can't hold real property. Mm-hmm. Trustees can.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are thousands of deeds recorded out there that convey property directly into a trust rather than into the trustees of the trust.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that carefully and doing that well is obviously of critical importance. Too often we get properties where the property was transferred into the trust rather than into the trustees, and then later on when they go to convey the property out or sell the property out, they can't because the initial deed conveying into the trust was done incorrectly.
And interestingly enough, later on in the program, we're going to be getting a segment from the Reuben Katz Law Firm that speaks specifically to deeds, so we'll come back to that. But I did get an email just now. Again, I want to remind you that if you want to call us here on All Things Real Estate, please give us a jingle here at Talk 1260 KTRC, and the number again is 505-473-5722. But as is always the case, today I've got actually the BlackBerry is screaming at me. There are a couple of different emails that came in. Hi, Ray. Does Mr. Riemann's company, and this goes to what you were just talking about, Steve, need to work with an attorney on a title transfer to a trust, or can he do it on his own?
Well, we are not attorneys, and we're not licensed to practice law in the state of New Mexico, so we avoid that. We are, however, scriveners to the extent that we're the pen that makes contact with the paper. And so quite often we will, with or without counsel, it depends obviously on the client's needs and the client's directions, but at the client's direction we can prepare deeds and record them. Sometimes we'll make a recommendation to counsel. We're not involved necessarily in the estate planning decision as much as we are just the facilitation itself of the transfers.
Does it, and by the way, that question came from...
an attorney?
Well, I don't know, Robert. He may be an attorney, probably not, but thank you, Robert, for your question. So you might work with counsel, you might not. It depends on the client's needs, but typically on a trust issue, because there are a number of complicated issues with that, it probably... Is it best to have the lawyer of the client involved in it in some way?
Well, it certainly can be, particularly in a transfer out of the trust, to make sure that the proper authorities belong to the trustees and can convey their property. In terms of vesting the property into a trust, it's fairly logistical, and once we review the trust, identify the trustees of the trust agreement, we can go ahead and prepare the deed.
One other issue that is really something that a title company, and Fidelity National Title does this on a regular basis, that can be helpful to people outside of closing on a purchase of a property, is changing marital status. So here I am, for better or for worse, I'm either getting married or I'm getting divorced or separated. What do you guys do to help me out in that particular instance?
Well, we certainly can consult with the clients to determine where they want their property to exist and how to hold and what capacities to hold that property. In New Mexico, there are a number of, but typically two predominant ways to hold title. One is what we call joint tenants with a right of survivorship, and one is tenants in common. There are a number of small differences, but perhaps the biggest difference between the two is the right of survivorship. And often when people acquire property as a single individual, later on become married, want to put that property into the husband and wife as joint tenants with right of survivorship, so that upon the demise of either one, the property automatically vests in the surviving spouse and there's no need to go to probate. Avoidance of probate is the critical issue in a joint tenancy with right of survivorship.
And for that particular case, most transactions at the front end find the survivorship issue rather than it being something that's discovered later. In other words, most people go for that designation rather than tenants in common, correct?
Oh, quite often. But in the case, for instance, I bought my property as a single individual, later on married Angie, wanted to make sure that she had survivorship on her property. So, and we do the same thing for a lot of clients who just call in and say, well, you know, I'm now getting married or whatever. I now have a significant other, would like to share my property. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title. Gino, I'm going to take a little break here because we're coming up at 12:19 by the clock. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute here on All Things Real Estate. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Today we're talking with our good friend Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title about All Things Title. How about that? I do want to mention, though, before we go back to our conversation, Steve, that you, like most homeowners or renters, have a time that comes in your life when you need some expert advice or assistance with a problem that's occurred at your house, or in some cases, condos. Gino, do you own a condo or house now? You're renting, huh? We're going to convert you to a buyer before the end of this show. Oh, you're a renter. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with being a renter. It's a good position to be in. Well, maybe you've decided that it's time to renovate, replace, or simply redesign something at that place you call home. If you find yourself in any of these circumstances, then what's most important to you is to identify the very best person or company that can help meet your needs. We've assembled some of the finest people in the business to help you with your own home needs and have placed them on our website under the heading of Real Estate Resources. And this is a real good group of companies. I encourage you to go to our website, which is, again, www.sfrp.com. Click on that radio show icon. You'll see the radio tower, and you'll head over to the Real Estate Resources list of service providers, and they can be a lot of help to you if you need some renovation or other things done at your home. Anyway, back to my conversation with Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title. I remember from the first show, Steve, you were telling me, telling the listeners actually, more importantly, that Fidelity National Title is the repository of all information that the county even comes to you guys for data. Is that right?
Yeah, we're one of the original title plants. In New Mexico, you have to have a 20-year digitized record of all recordings of the county in order to operate as a title company. When Fidelity National bought Capital City Title last year, Capital City is probably the longest true abstract title plant repository of information, as you say, that exists for Santa Fe County. We were really privileged to purchase that. We have records going back into the 1800s. We have plats that don't exist that other people don't have.
Well, now, why is this important to the listener?
Well, it just makes sure that our investigation is so thorough. Remember that most of our work is done before a transaction closes to make sure that the people are properly advised of the covenants and restrictions or limitations against the property, those sorts of things. And so the comprehensive part of our plant gives us a real advantage in this marketplace in terms of providing information to consumers to make sure that they're fully protected in their transactions.
Well, good stuff. And so for all sorts of reasons, it makes Fidelity National Title, in my view, one of the major destinations for anyone that wants to buy or sell a house. You know, why wouldn't they want to have that kind of resource behind them, correct?
And we're the underwriters. We are the insurer. And so you can deal with the middleman or you can come to us direct and get the best product available in the marketplace.
Something else that I wanted to talk about. So I own some property, and I decide that I want to sell part of it off. One of the things, again, that might not be well known by consumers out there is that you guys at Fidelity National Title can help with a new survey on that parcel that someone wants to sell, correct?
Yes, we can. And remember that not only do you want to survey your property or split your property or perhaps just adjust the boundary lines to your property, but you want to make sure that it's marketable after the fact, that you can sell it after the fact. And so we work very closely with consumers, clients, and surveyors so that when a property is reconfigured, boundary lines are adjusted, or the property is split, that it's done in such a way so that the property is fully marketable after the fact. There are no additional burdens created by that lot split, that people's mortgages are properly adjusted and paid off and the property is released so that the property is ultimately marketable. That's why you are adjusting your lot lines or splitting your property to begin with.
On that point, Susie just sent us an email here. It says, hi, Ray, I bought a house on with a fair amount of land 6 months ago, and I used Fidelity National Title to close the deal. Thank you, Susie.
Appreciate that.
I'm selling off some land. She must mean some of the land on this large plot that she has. But the buyer wants to use another title company. Will Fidelity work with us anyway on a new survey?
Absolutely right. Fidelity is a full-service company that, you know, it's not always about closing the transaction. It's about being a resource and a friend to our clients and to the community. And so friends call friends for title work, as we say. Mm-hmm. And Susie's a friend of ours. She's a past client of ours, and we're glad to help her in any way.
So how does that work? You've got whoever this other title company is, but they've been retained by the buyer to basically take care of the transaction. Where do you guys then play a role with in this process?
Well, most title companies are fairly cooperative in this marketplace. The fact that the property was once insured by Fidelity means that we have obviously a database on that property, an investigation completed on that property, so we can work with her, with Susie, to help her in this next transaction. Sometimes those are fee situations. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's just a common courtesy that we provide.
Sure.
So that people are able to move their properties. This isn't just about, you know, where you can fee people.
Right.
This is about how you can make people aware of and fully secure in their real estate transactions.
Right, and if Susie decides to sell off even more of her large land lot later on, by you doing that, she. Now, by the way, I didn't want to say to Susie, you're not going to charge her for this, but in the event that you don't, she'll come back to you again and again and again.
And in all things real estate, the referral network and your past friends is what you count on for the future. So we're just as much a part of that as anybody else.
Absolutely. Gino Thompson, my producer, I hear that there's a little legal music in the background. Is it coming in? Yes, there it is. Okay, it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week, attorney Melanie McGillivray, who has provided us with fabulous commentary in the past, will explain the differences between the three types of deeds used to transfer interests in real property in New Mexico. These three types of deeds are called quitclaim, special warranty, and general warranty. A deed is the legal document used for transferring ownership, otherwise called title, to real estate. The three types of deeds vary in the degree of confidence the person making the deed has in his own title to real estate when transferring ownership to someone else. The least confident seller of ownership gives a quitclaim deed. These are going to be tongue twisters, I can tell. The most confident gives a general warranty deed. A quitclaim deed transfers ownership interests in real property but does not include any warranty by the person making it about the nature or quality of the interest being conveyed, or even if any interest exists at all. A quitclaim deed may be useful in cases where a party is unable or unwilling to make any representations regarding the status of title to the property at issue. Now, an example of this would be a person who did not receive title insurance when obtaining the deed. The second type of a deed, a special warranty deed, provides greater protection to a buyer than a quitclaim deed, but less protection than a general warranty deed. Special warranty deeds provide that the seller warrants only that he or she has not created or caused any defect in title during the period that he or she owned the property. A special warranty deed does not provide any warranty by the seller against title defects arising from conditions that existed before he or she owned the property. A special warranty deed must specifically state on the face of the deed that it is given with special warranty covenants. The special warranty deed is most often used by a personal representative who only comes into title by operation of law when someone dies. The third type of deed, a general warranty deed, is the most common form of deed used in real estate transfers in Santa Fe County and offers the greatest protection to a buyer of any deed recognized under New Mexico law. A seller providing a general warranty deed is making a promise that they will defend the title transferred to the buyer from any and all claims asserted by others in and to an ownership interest in the property. A general warranty deed conveys clear title from the beginning of time through the date of transfer. The general warranty deed must specifically state on the face of the deed that it is, in fact, given with warranty covenants. The general warranty deed is normally given when the seller has title insurance that he can rely upon if a defect in title later appears. Regardless of the type of deed you use to transfer property, the deed should contain the following critical components. First, the names of the seller and the buyer. Second, a legal description of the property being conveyed. Third, a statement that adequate compensation or consideration was paid and received for the transfer of the property. Fourth, it needs to have the signature of the seller. And finally, fifth, a notary's acknowledgement of the seller's signature. Lastly, a buyer must receive the original deed and immediately record it in the real property records of the county where the property is located. Thanks once again to Attorney Melanie McGilvery for a terrific legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding deeds, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. Now, deeds, this is part and parcel with what you deal with every single day, Steve, correct?
Absolutely correct. Melanie makes some very good points. She's obviously a top quality real estate attorney in our market. She makes some great points about the assurances that are being provided to the buyer under the three types of deeds. Remember that the best kind of assurance that you can have is title insurance. The quality of warranty that the sellers are making in the deeds is different in each of those deeds, but we're still, in those cases, relying on the seller themselves for the warranty. They have to be able to back it up. Historically, that's why sellers have become the purchasers of title insurance for the buyers, because the sellers want to make sure that the sellers are protected, but want to protect themselves against their warranties in the deeds. So they buy title insurance for the consumer, for the buyer, in this case, so that the buyer has their assurances without necessarily going back against the seller themselves.
Mm-hmm. And as we talked about, we're going to take a break here in a second, but as we talked about on the first show, there are differences in jurisdictions about who actually pays for the title insurance, whether it's the buyer or the seller. In this state, as you correctly pointed out, and as the vast majority of occasions, it is the buyer that is purchasing the title insurance.
It's actually the seller.
I'm thinking about Washington, D.C. I apologize.
And any state is different here. Yeah. Typically, the seller pays.
Right. Anyway, Gino Thompson, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. Please stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate right here on Talk 1260 KTRC. Today, my special guest in the studio, and he's already corrected me, I must remind the listeners that Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title, my guest, was actually my professor for my licensing when I became a broker, and he corrected me in the last segment on a mistake I made. I appreciate you being here in the studio with me today. For all sorts of reasons, that one as well. And I'm also, and this is something that Steve and I were talking about during the break, I'm pleased to announce that we have added another sponsor to our family of companies who are underwriting All Things Real Estate. Major Development Incorporated, a family-owned and operated residential development and construction company, has joined us. And later this month, Dina and Jeff Major, the principals of the company, will be in my in-studio guests here on the show. We'll be adding information about Major Development Incorporated to our website this coming week, but if you want to contact them in the meantime, go to www.majordevelopment.net and check out all that they have to offer in the way of custom home building services. Steve, you know these guys pretty well. Dina is actually an associate broker in our firm, Santa Fe Realty Partners, but you know their product, don't you?
Good quality product, good quality people, fun to deal with. And they do a good job for the clients.
Great. Well, we're delighted to have them among the very select group of sponsors joining Fidelity National Title and others. I want to actually shift gears here and talk about a thing. Let's see. Do I hear a little Hub International music in the background there? Gino's so good with all this music stuff. By that sound, it is time for another valuable insurance tip brought to you by our friends at Hub International. So you've decided that it's time to start that much dreamed about business out of your home. I'm sure the first thing you did was call your insurance agent, right? But you didn't? Well, that could be a mistake because your homeowner's policy has certain limitations. Now, often these limitations can be overcome, but only if you communicate with your agent. Why don't you take a listen to what I learned this week when I spoke to Bob Pratt, account executive with Hub International. I've heard that one-third of the American workforce spends some time working at home, and like everyone else, I've heard those ads touting home-based businesses. If a listener wants to work from home, is that an issue for their homeowner's insurance?
You know, Ray, it certainly can be. I've seen numbers indicating that 2 million people start a home-based business every year. People from accountants and artists to vitamin sales and web page designers are working out of their home. Business is actually a defined term in the contract, so it's pretty clear what an insurance company actually thinks is a business. As a defined term, it then identifies what is not covered as a property or liability exposure under the homeowner's policy. You may be dealing with such things as salesman samples, inventory, laptops, phones, furniture, all belonging to the business. There are a number of methods to provide a certain amount of coverage under the homeowner's policy, or you might find that commercial insurance is more appropriate. The best possible solution? Talk to your agent.
So if I understand this correctly, Bob, a listener can actually get commercial insurance for running the business out of their home. But now, how does that impact their homeowner's policy?
Well, Ray, while every policy has an other insurance clause that mandate a shared payment if two policies cover the same exposure, assuming a particular business exposure may not be covered under a homeowner's policy, it wouldn't affect that homeowner's policy at all. The commercial policy might be more appropriate for the exposures presented by a particular business.
Thanks a lot, Bob. That's really great advice and another terrific insurance tip from our friends at Hub International. Okay, welcome back to the studio here. That was a pre-taped interview I had with Mr. Pratt from Hub International. I'm here in the studio with Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title. We talked a lot at the first half of the show about things that title companies do that consumers may not be aware of, Steve. But let's switch gears here and talk about something that's dear to your heart because you are a certified instructor, certified by the state of New Mexico to actually instruct people who have, and there's going to be a lot of listeners scratching their heads, have decided they want to get into the business of real estate. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about requirements if you do, but someone might be saying, you know, the market is not all that strong, though it is coming back. Why in the world would I choose real estate as a career? What's your answer, Steve?
Well, there's a lot of advantages to it. Most people you find actually get into the business because they love real properties. They love homes. They love seeing homes, showing homes, and finding that opportunity to put a buyer with the home of their dreams. And it really is a wonderful adventure and a wonderful conclusion when a home buyer finds the house of their dreams, and you were able to be a part of that. So it's very fulfilling. I've been a licensed broker for a number of years, never actually full-time engaged in the sale of real properties, but it's very fulfilling, and you can see a lot of people's faces at the closing table, just delighted as they could be to find the house of their dreams.
Well, and that's a very good way of characterizing an answer to that question of why get involved in it. But I also would just say that, you know, I would look at this as an opportunity. The market has been suffering for the last year and a half, 2 years, longer in some parts of the country. I think this is an excellent time to get involved in the market because you can learn a lot during a very stressful time for anyone that's in the industry. Now, there are a lot of people who have decided not to stay in real estate. A number of brokers here in Santa Fe County have hung up their license, but a lot of new people are coming in, and as an instructor, you probably have had a lot of new students in your classes, right?
We have a class going on now with Kaplan Professional Schools for pre-licensing. I think it's a great time to get into the market if that's your passion. There are times when the market is so busy that you get your license, you get thrown into the business, you're not prepared for it, there's no mentoring going on, there's no time to breathe,
right.
And frankly, you perhaps subject yourself to a lot of mistakes in that particular entry into the market, where now there's time to get in, there's time to mentor, there's time to learn, there's time to learn how to distinguish yourself as a broker in the marketplace, and I think it's the opportune time.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit specifically about the requirements. Say someone says, okay, I buy what you guys are saying, I want to get involved. What do they have to do? I mean, first of all, I know what the answer is, but I'm asking you as the instructor, what does someone do first of all?
Well, contact a certified school for instruction. The largest school in New Mexico is the Kaplan Professional Schools, the one that I instruct for. And there is a requirement for three classes in order to obtain permission to take your test. Those three classes are 30 hours each. Typically, we meet 7 nights a week. You can take it full time if you wanted to go to Albuquerque and larger markets. Here we teach it in the evenings only. But you'll have three classes, one on real estate law, one on principles and practice, and then what we call broker basics, which is the how-to after studying the law and some of the principles involved. Each class is 30 hours, like I said, usually 7 nights. And once you successfully complete those, you are then authorized to take the test for certification.
And again, as you know, Steve, I am a real estate agent back in Washington, D.C., and I was able to, and there is some reciprocity here in New Mexico, but I was able to get the State Real Estate Commission to waive 60 of the 90 hours of instruction because I had taken it and passed it successfully and had been serving as an agent in Washington, D.C. So if anyone out there who maybe has moved to Santa Fe has a real estate license in the past that still is active, they may actually be able to waive some of those courses as well.
Absolutely. We're actually down to 4 states, which we share full reciprocity with. But only the third segment of the three classes that I spoke of, the broker basics portion, is a mandatory attendance. And so quite often the state will allow you to waive your first 60 hours, making sure that you are here for the last 30 hours before you can qualify for the test.
And so you've taken the classes where you've had some of them waived, or you've taken all 90 hours. You've now passed the internal exams given at the conclusion of the instruction. You are now qualified to take the national and state exam administered by PSI, I believe. And so you then go to that exam. And I remember it. There's a lot of knee quivering going on for that. You really have to study hard before you do this, don't you?
It is not an easy exam process at all. There are two exams, the state portion and the national portion. And if you simply come to the classes and think you're going to walk in and pass the test, you have another thing coming. It's a very challenging test, and as it should be. These are people who carry a license and carry an obligation to the community of New Mexico, and we had ought to test them very very strictly and make sure that they have the necessary skills.
Yeah, and so for the listeners out there who aren't deciding that they want to change their career and become a real estate broker, the good message from Steve Riemann is that because the requirements in New Mexico are so stringent and the exam is tough, is that that guarantees you as a buyer or a seller that you're going to have a very qualified person working for your best interest, because this is the largest purchase in one's life, isn't it?
And it is the most important, usually, purchase that they'll ever make. The licensure from New Mexico carries a great deal of responsibility, obviously a great deal of education. The passage rate is not that high in New Mexico. That's to do with the instruction, by the way.
Yes.
It has to do with the difficulty of the test and the difficulty of obtaining that license.
We're going to take a break here in a second, Gino, but before we do that, I just remember when I took the exam in Washington, D.C., and I passed it many years ago, you had to walk up to the desk, the check-in desk, to get your answers, and they take all of the longest period of time to bring it up to you. I don't know if they do that on purpose. Here in New Mexico, when you're done with the exam, you press a button, and the score comes right up in the screen. That was the first time I saw it. And so you know whether or not you're going to be crying or you're going to be cheering right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, the suspense is quite difficult. So
it's
nice to know right away your results.
Anyway, Gino Thompson, let's take a break here on All Things Real Estate. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Representative today.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners here on Talk 1260 KTRC. I have Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title as my in-studio guest today, and we've been talking about both things that are not well-known by consumers that title companies do, and we've had some good email questions, and we just concluded a little conversation about the education requirements if one wants to become a broker of real estate in New Mexico. And it is a good career choice. We hope people would consider doing it. We're constantly getting new people joining our firm, and I know the owners, Tommy Gardner and Darlene Street, are delighted that even in these tough times, people decide that it's not a bad career to have. Anyway, Gino, I think I'm going to switch gears here, and today I'm actually going to feature one of my own listings during our Open House of the Week segment. It's brought to you by Los Alamos National Bank. My client has this fabulous property near the Santa Fe Opera, and because the opera season began this weekend, we thought that we would open up the property to everyone who happens to be in the vicinity or might be enjoying Sunday breakfast at Tasuki Market. So since I'm here in the KTR studio, Associate Broker Nancy Lehrer has kindly agreed to start the open house at 1 o'clock. Gino, I think we have Nancy on the phone. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
Good morning, Ray, and good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nancy.
I am fabulous, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to host an open house at 3 Camino Caruso. It's just such a special, beautiful property in the Casa de San Juan neighborhood, 2 minutes from the opera.
Well,
and in fact, I have some ladies here. One lady is from Houston, and one lady is a local resident, and they're looking at this wonderful home right now.
Well, great. I don't want to take you away from a possible sale, Nancy. That was our deal where you did the open house, and so if you need to jump off here, please do it and write a contract. But I appreciate you holding the open house, and like every week here on All Things Real Estate, I'm going to give us, you and me, 2 minutes to sell this terrific property to all the listeners, okay?
Great.
Well, you're on. Go.
Okay. Main thing I want to tell you about this wonderful property, it is 3-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,300 square feet. All of the rooms are oversized, and it has a wonderful open floor plan with custom features throughout. And because this is your listing, Ray, you know about the fabulous Jemez Mountain views, which you can see from inside the property, as well as the outdoor terrace and beautifully landscaped garden. This place is perfect for entertaining.
Yeah, you know, Nancy, what I really like about the place is that it has special features that truly sell themselves. For instance, a huge master suite with a cove ceiling, access to the terrace. And, Nancy, how about that large living room that I think you're probably standing in?
I'm standing in the living room. It's got wonderful ceiling fans. The ceilings are very high, very open spaces. It's just a perfect home for entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I think it's got a gallery-style dining area, which when we first took that listing, that was a little bit different configuration, but it is so perfect for holding those big dinner parties if you want to do it, right?
You bet, Ray. And what really impresses me about this property is how much light it has, windows and French doors galore, with terrific access to the outdoors. In fact, the outdoor gardens right now are magnificent. It has 2 kiva fireplaces, so it's just really quite spectacular.
Well, I guess, Nancy, I think that really the only thing that's left is to tell the listeners what the price is and how do they get to see you there at the open house.
This is some of the best news yet. This terrific property is listed for only $900,000, surely making it one of the best values in Santa Fe. To get here, just take the Tizuki exit off of Route 285 North. Take Opera Drive all the way to where the Opera entrance is located. On the left is the entrance to Casas de San Juan, which I should add offers the security of being a gated community. Come through the gate and head over to 3 Camino Caruso. And one last thing, Ray, mm-hmm. This spectacular property is only 10 minutes from downtown Santa Fe.
Yeah, you know, you just really need to put the car in neutral and roll down the hill from the opera. It's really easy to get there. Nancy, thanks so much for starting the open house. You already have people there. And I just want to tell the listeners that once I finish today's show, I'm actually going to head over to the property and invite everyone to come over to 3 Camino Caruso. Nancy and I would love to meet you. We'll be there until about 4 o'clock. You can also check out this property by going to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon, go to the Open House of the Week picture, and you'll get all the information you need about that. You can also check out Nancy Lehrer's bio on our website. Nancy, thanks a lot. I'll see you soon.
Okay, and I'll get back to my buyers. You gentlemen have a great day.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title. We're down to about the last 4 minutes or so, 5 minutes of the show. I think maybe we ought to go back to some of the things that we talked about the first part of the program regarding issues and services that title companies provide to consumers they may not be totally aware of. I actually had a question from a listener regarding something about the public record. Doesn't the public record tell me who owns a lot near my house, or do I definitely need a title company or a broker's help to find that out?
Well, the public record is available to the consumers to find out who owns properties in their areas, etc. Quite often, navigating those public records can be a bit of a challenge. If you have the time and the energy to go to the courthouse, they have fabulous people working at the courthouse, by the way, who will typically help help folks to find what they're looking for. Sometimes it's just a quick phone call away, however, to call a title company or a real estate broker and say, pose the question and get the answer in a little bit more simplicity without navigating the public records.
Now, that raises a good point, and you spoke about this earlier about not pro bono work, but helping people out, particularly clients that have been with you on many occasions, not necessarily charging them. You know, we get calls as brokers all the time from people just interested in properties, whether they become a buyer or a seller. You know, we really don't care. You want to have that dialogue just to maybe have them become a buyer or a seller down the road. Does that happen with you guys? Do you get phone calls unsolicited on a regular basis?
Absolutely. Fidelity is a full-service company, and so we'll get calls with respect to who owns properties. We'll get calls with respect to what liens exist against properties so that people can manage their way through correct offers or those sorts of things. We also get calls from consumers curious about the covenants or conditions in various neighborhoods. I'm looking for horse property. I want to make sure that this is not horse property, whatever. And that's the information that we can provide to help the consumer out.
Mm-hmm. And some of these other services that people might not be aware of, we've talked about quite a few of them. What else might you want to suggest that people know about in case they have something related to property that they can come to a title company for outside of just a settlement?
Well, in just a recent example this week is a consumer called to find out if there were liens placed against their property. They had some construction done with the most recent year, and there had been some difficulties with the contractor. They wanted to know if the contractor had ever filed a mechanics lien against the property. Those records are available to us with not only from a comprehensive standpoint, but a little bit more readily available than going down to the courthouse and running the indices yourself. So we can provide that information to people fairly quickly.
Last week I had two gentlemen from Wynn Home Inspection. They're also sponsors of the show. They were in the studio with me, and we talked about a variety of things that home inspectors do to make the process work. And again, as brokers, and Steve, you're a broker too, you understand this better than anyone, a broker assembles a group of professionals that are part of, quote, his or her team to help with any kind of transaction. You want to have a good inspector, you want to have a good lender, you want to have a good title company. I asked these people at the end of the show what was the most unusual inspection that they'd ever had, and without skipping a beat, one of the gentlemen said, well, last week I had someone, we were going for an inspection, and we had a neighbor who showed up with a rifle, and he was not too keen about us doing the inspection. Clearly he didn't become the buyer, but I'm just curious, any unusual title episodes you want to share with us? I mean, so much of what you do, again, is behind the scenes, and if it's a flawless title, which is what you want, people very much don't even know the title company's there. But anything that really stands out in your mind, Steve?
Well, perhaps the one time that I inadvertently conveyed the wrong property, there were two identical properties owned by the same person, one with a house, one without a house, and we wound up conveying the property with the house rather than the one without the house. And, of course, the seller was not too thrilled with that. It was fairly correctable pretty quickly. And so stuff happens in the world, and that's why title companies are here to make sure it's right.
Well, listen, I want to thank Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title for sharing time in the studio with me today. As always, I want to thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, for making the show sound terrific for all of our listeners. And thank you for tuning in today. Please join me at 3 Camino Caruso later on this afternoon if you can. Tune in next Sunday right here at Talk 1260 KTRC at noon. And until then, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.